Brothers and sisters, will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, if you're able, when you're ready, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And then would you turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Let's pray. Father in heaven, who are we to contemplate such a scene, such a passage this morning? We must cry out to you. It must be you, O Lord. It must be you, Holy Spirit, that would cause us to grasp something of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please speak to us. In all my weakness, may your strength be all the more evident in all our hardness of heart and slowness of hearing. Would your voice be mighty this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus summons John to look into God's cathedral headquarters. He summons John to come and look into heaven itself. Now, why does he do that? It's because he wants John to see, he wants you to see that God is on his throne. The church is in a warfare. Will the church survive? Will the church be able to advance? Of course it will. It will. It won't just survive, it will triumph. Why? Because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we can only begin to picture this in our mind, this dazzling technicolor of precious stones pointing to God's beauty. The lightning, the rumbling, the peals of thunder pointing to God's awesome power. The 24 elders, the representatives of the church. The four living creatures, the representatives of the seraphim and cherubim, all there worshiping God who sits on his throne. But now, as we come into chapter 5, John notices something. Verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now, here's a scroll. It's sealed with seven seals. And obviously, we need to ask the question, what is this scroll? And I'm saying to you this morning that this scroll is God's will and testament. This scroll is his will, it's his plan, it's his settlement for the history of the world, for the destiny of the world. Now, it's written on both sides, just like in Ezekiel chapter 2. In other words, it's God's all-encompassing will. God has composed history with all his purposes, with all his pleasures, with salvation, with judgment, with everything. Everything that happens, happens according to God's will. We're not here by chance. We're not leaves floating about in the wind. It is the will of God, and this scroll is God's will and testament. But the question is, how will God's will, how will his plan be revealed? How will it be executed? Verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it." It's completely sealed, presumably with wax, and no one is worthy to open it. The strong angel, not just any angel, the strong angel says with a loud voice, "Is anyone worthy? Is anyone worthy to reveal, to execute God's plan to save the lost? Is anyone worthy to pour down God's blessing upon the church? Anyone worthy to manifest the grace of God and the glory of God? Anyone worthy to slay the dragon, to judge the wicked, to glorify God in history? Is there any angel, is there any elder, is there any creature, is anyone worthy?" And the answer is no. No one has the authority, no one has the worthiness to see, let alone execute God's will. And so John begins to weep. But John, you don't need to weep. God will save his people. God will vindicate the oppressed. God will work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God will slay the dragon. God will be worshipped by every nation, people, tribe, and tongue. How come? Because someone is worthy. Is Excalibur, isn't it? You remember that tale, the sword and the stone, Excalibur and the anvil and the stone in the churchyard in London. And whoever had the rights, whoever was divinely appointed by God, was able to take out the stone and receive that prize above all prizes, the British throne. And here's these knights, and they come, and they're not strong enough. And here's these nobles, and they come, and they're not noble enough. Why? Because they're unworthy. They have no claim. They have no right. They have no authority. They don't have that royal blood coursing through their veins. But look, John, verse 4. "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Look, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, going all the way back to Genesis 49, when Jacob says to Judah of the lion that is to come, "Have you seen a lion? Strong, mighty, victorious." Look, John, the Root of David, going all the way back 900 years to Isaiah chapter 11, the promise of David's son, his royal line, 2 Samuel 7. Look, John, see the king, this lion king. And so he looks, and there's a lamb. Verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. A lamb standing as though slain. I wonder what you think about when you think about this scene about the Lord Jesus like a slain lamb before the throne. Perhaps you think of Genesis 22 when Abraham's going out up Mount Moriah with Isaac, and Isaac's, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God himself will provide a sacrifice for the burnt offering, my son. And you remember this scene as he's about to slay his son. Stop. And there caught in the thicket is a ram. Or perhaps you think of Exodus and the Passover. Or perhaps you think of the constant flow of sacrifices in the tabernacle and the temple. Or perhaps you think of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But I've always thought, when I've read this scene of Isaiah chapter 53, and that passage, really it begins in Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah says, many were astonished at you, speaking of the Lord Jesus 800 years before he came. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. As one man said, Jesus was beaten into a shockingly inhuman mass of wounded flesh. He ceased to look like a man. Such was his treatment. In verse 2 of Isaiah 53, it says he had no to'ar, no beauty, and no hadar, no ornament. If you were to pass Jesus in the street, you wouldn't even notice him. He was despised and rejected by the very ones he came to save. A man of makob, of anguish or affliction or sorrow, acquainted with grief. You could translate that, acquainted with calamity or disease. That was the Lord Jesus, stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. The Lord daka is the word in Hebrew. The Lord, you could translate it, beat him or crushed him. It's really the idea of crumbling something. The Lord crushed him, beat him, and put him to grief. But listen at verse 6 of Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of his all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was a lamb led to the slaughter for me. It was my grief and my sorrow and my transgressions and my iniquity and my sin. Why? For my peace and for my healing and for me to be accounted righteous. He was the Lamb of God, silently, willingly taken away to be slain in my place. And here he is, standing before the throne in heaven. And this Lamb, this Jesus, is worthy to open the scroll. Verse 7, and he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. He is worthy to execute God's plan. He is worthy to save God's people. He is worthy to defeat the dragon and defeat the works of the evil one and the beast and the grave and the wicked. Why? Because he was slain. And because he redeemed the people for God, this sacrificial slain lamb. Yes, powerful. His seven horns, yes, omniscient, his seven eyes, but the slain lamb is worthy to execute God's will, to execute his salvation, to execute his judgment. And I want you to see the response. It is the only appropriate response. In verses 8 through 14, this chorus of doxology. Verse 8, and when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang in a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. These 24 elders representing all the church, these four living creatures representing all the angels, and they're worshipping him, not just because he is holy, chapter 4, verse 8, not just because he is the creator, chapter 4, verse 11, but now because he is the redeemer. And there's this other, I guess, antiphonal chorus, I'm assuming. It doesn't say that they're singing, but I'm assuming that they're joining in the chorus, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Countless angels. I don't know, I imagine they're singing soprano, tenor, baritone, bass. And then this other chorus, verse 13, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Now, what do you make of this scene? It puts things into perspective, doesn't it? I can get so wrapped up in my own circumstances, in myself, in my problems. I can look around at the world and try as I may. It's hard not to be disquieted. We look at our nation, we look at the culture. I'm tired of hearing about the culture and the culture wars. But it's hard not to be disquieted. And we look around at the church. What about the church? What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to this church? But you need to see this morning the reality. One, God is on his throne. Two, God has a double-sided, all-encompassing, immutable, will for the world and for his church. And three, Jesus, the Lion King, the rightful King who was slain but is now there being worshipped by all of heaven, is the executor of God's sovereign will. Don't be disquieted. Don't be concerned. This is reality. Let's trust him. And let's worship him. Amen. Let's pray. Our mighty God, our sight is so dim. Our attention is so distracted. Our thoughts, at least my thoughts, are so inward looking. But we thank you, O Lord, this morning for just a glimpse of the reality that you are on your throne in all your splendor, that Jesus Christ is there carrying out your sovereign decree, carrying out your every pleasure and your every purpose, and you will not be frustrated, and you will not be denied, and you will not be stopped from doing all things well because of the Lamb who conquered and who was slain and who ransomed a people for you will bring it all to come to pass. And we pray as we wait for that day, we sung with the choir this morning, the heavenly choir, but we look forward to the day when we will hear the myriads and myriads of angels. And we pray that you'd help us to wait, to look, to eagerly expect that coming day when we too, with the elders, will cast our crowns and fall down before you. In Jesus' name, amen.